Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad Autónoma de Canarias. Pruebas de certificación de nivel avanzado C1 de inglés. Convocatoria de incidencias de 2021. Prueba de comprensión de textos orales. Esta parte consta de 3 tareas. Escuchará cada grabación 2 veces. Escuche y lea las instrucciones al principio de cada tarea y realícelas según se indica. Las respuestas escritas a lápiz o en tinta roja no se calificarán. No está permitido el uso del diccionario. El uso de cualquier dispositivo electrónico queda prohibido durante toda la prueba. El móvil tendrá que permanecer apagado y guardado. Escriba sus respuestas en la hoja de respuestas.
Task 1. You will hear some extracts corresponding to radio ads. Match each extract, 1 to 6, to the corresponding heading, A to J. There are 3 headings you will not need to use. Extract 0 is given as an example. Write your answers in the answer sheet provided. Now you have 1 minute to read the statements. Example.
Please play with me again. Please, I'm so bored without you. You don't need to go to work. Just stay with me another hour. Half an hour. Just 5 little minutes. Come on, you promised. You always want to play. You love playing.
You can win this time. 1 little game. That's all. Please.
If gambling is getting in your head, go to begambleaware.org.
Extract 1.
White gold is silver. Well, silver in colour. And that's why Helen Scott never wears that diamond and white gold bangle that Tim, her husband, bought her. She prefers gold gold. But the bangle is gorgeous, sculptural with sparkly diamonds. Tim's never even noticed that she doesn't wear it, so he almost certainly wouldn't notice if she sold it.
If you have any fine jewellery that you'll never wear, take it to Bonhams during June Jewels for a free confidential valuation. Full details at bonhams.com/June Jewels.
Extract 2.
You think you're a better driver than me? Is that because I'm a woman? Because I'm pregnant? You've got no idea. I've got motivation like you wouldn't believe, so there is no way I'm gonna let my baby grow up in a world like this. I've seen what it's like, and I know where it's headed. That's why we're getting out of here, racing our way free. And you better not get in our way.
Curfew, a Sky original production, tonight at 9 p.m. on Sky One.
Extract 3.
Okay, team, this is Jane Neumann from head office.
Hi.
Jane's got an idea about how to save money on marketing during all this Brexit uncertainty. Jane?
You're all fired.
Any questions on that?
In uncertain times, marketing budgets often take the hit, but they don't have to. Research shows that in certain sectors, radio delivers the highest returns of any media, paying back on average £7.70 for every £1 spent. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Extract 4.
What's that, boy? Dad! Dad! Over there! Is that a Yeti?
It's just his hair, son.
At last! Saved after all these years! Stuck up this cursed mountain, licking moss with only a crow for a friend. How'd you find me?
Just walking the dog. Need a lift back down?
Room for a crow?
Adventures never far with the Land Rover Discovery Sport. Now £339 per month on Land Rover personal contract hire.
Oh, heated seats.
Extract 5.
Lanes 2 and 3 have reopened between the junction 1 and the roundabout northbound slope southbound.
Driving is not a game. If you tailgate the car in front, the closer you get, the less time you'll have to react. Don't be a space invader. Stay safe. Stay back. Search Highways England for more information.
Extract 6.
What in heaven's name are you doing, Corporal?
I'm sending the messages like you asked me to, sir.
No, Morse code. I told you to send them in Morse code.
Oh.
Sorry.
Should have gone to Specsavers for £400 off selected hearing aids. Offer ends 30th of September 2019. Ask in store for details.
Listen again. Example.
Please. Please play with me again. Please. I'm so bored without you. You don't need to go to work. Just stay with me another hour. Or half an hour. Just 5 little minutes. Come on. You promised. You always want to play. You love playing.
You can win this time. 1 little game. That's all. Please.
If gambling is getting in your head, go to begambleaware.org.
Extract 1.
White gold is silver. Well, silver in colour. And that's why Helen Scott never wears that diamond and white gold bangle that Tim, her husband, bought her. She prefers gold gold. But the bangle is gorgeous, sculptural with sparkly diamonds. Tim's never even noticed that she doesn't wear it, so he almost certainly wouldn't notice if she sold it.
If you have any fine jewellery that you'll never wear, take it to Bonhams during June Jewels for a free confidential valuation. Full details at bonhams.com/June Jewels.
Extract 2.
You think you're a better driver than me? Is that... because I'm a woman. Because I'm pregnant. You've got no idea. I've got motivation like you wouldn't believe, so there is no way I'm going to let my baby grow up in a world like this. I've seen what it's like, and I know where it's headed. That's why we're getting out of here. Racing our way free. And you better not get in our way.
Curfew, a Sky original production. Tonight at 9 p.m. on Sky One.
Extract 3.
Okay, team, this is Jane Neumann from head office.
Hi.
Jane's got an idea about how to save money on marketing during all this Brexit uncertainty. Jane?
You're all fired.
Any questions on that?
In uncertain times, marketing budgets often take the hit, but they don't have to. Research shows that in certain sectors, radio delivers the highest returns of any media, paying back on average £7.70 for every £1 spent. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Extract 4.
What's that boy? Dad! Over there! Is that a Yeti?
It's just his hair, son.
At At last! Saved after all these years! Stuck up this cursed mountain, licking moss with only a crow for a friend. How'd you find me?
Just walking the dog. Need lift back down?
Room for a crow?
Adventures never far with the Land Rover Discovery Sport. Now £339 per month on Land Rover personal contract hire.
Oh, heated seats.
Extract 5.
Lanes 2 and 3 have reopened between the junction 1 and the roundabout northbound slope southbound.
Driving is not a game. If you tailgate the car in front, the closer you get, the less time you'll have to react. Don't be a space invader. Stay safe. Stay back. Search Highways England for more information.
Extract 6.
What in heaven's name are you doing, Corporal?
I'm sending the messages like you asked me to, sir.
No, Morse code. I told you to send them in Morse code.
Oh, sorry.
Should have gone to Specsavers for £400 off selected hearing aids. Offer ends 30th of September 2019. Ask in store for details.
This is the end of task 1. Now turn to task 2. Task 2. You are going to listen to a podcast in which they provide information about Hurricane Maria. Read the items that follow and choose the correct alternative, A, B, or C. Item 0 is given as an example. Write your answers in the answer sheet provided. Now you have 2 minutes to read the statements.
This is Scientific American's 60 Second Science. I'm Adam Levy. On September 20th, 2017, a huge storm, Hurricane Maria, made landfall on Puerto Rico. While the initial estimates suggested around 60 people lost their lives as a result of this horrific hurricane, the official figure was later raised to the thousands.
We've all seen it on the news, right? We all watched how, you know, or heard about how people didn't have power for, you know, a month after, 3 months, 6 months, a year after. Apparently there's still some people on the island that still don't have power.
David Keelings, a geographer at the University of Alabama. With a cost to America of $90 billion, Hurricane Maria was the third most financially destructive in US history. But just how unusual was its intensity? Keelings set out to compare Maria to all the other storms that have hit Puerto Rico since records began in 1956.
Maria is more intense than any one of those other 128 storms that we have in the record. It's dropped more rainfall than any one of those other storms, and to a significant amount, about 30 to 60% more rainfall than any other storm in history in Puerto Rico.
So the question is, could climate change have played a role in this devastating record rainfall? While it's not possible to say a single storm is caused by climate change, it is possible to investigate whether climate change made a storm more likely. And this is exactly what Keelings investigated. He calculated how likely Maria was to take place in today's climate and in a world where we hadn't altered the global climate as much.
So we dial back global temperatures to the 50s, we dial back CO2 to the 50s, we dial back cloud cover to the 1950s, and then we calculate the probability of Maria again, and then we compare those two probability estimates. And when we do that, we find that Maria and Maria's precipitation in particular is about five times more likely now in the climate of today versus the climate of the 1950s. And that five times increase in likelihood is directly attributable to long-term climate change.
More and more research is finding links between extreme weather events and climate change, demonstrating that we're already feeling the impacts of global warming today. But Keelings points out that we shouldn't be surprised to find climate change's fingerprints on storms like Maria. After all, for decades, researchers have predicted that by changing the climate, we would make hurricanes more intense.
This is something that we've known for a long time, but to now be actually able to say through these attribution type studies that, hey, this is what we expect theoretically, and guess what? This is what the observations are showing us. That's, I think, something that's really powerful.
Thanks for listening. For Scientific American's 60 Second Science, I'm Adam Levy.
Listen again.
This is Scientific American's 60 Second Science. I'm Adam Levy. On September 20th, 2017, a huge storm, Hurricane Maria, made landfall on Puerto Rico. While the initial estimates suggested around 60 people lost their lives as a result of this horrific hurricane, the official figure was later raised to the thousands.
We've all seen it on the news, right? We all watched how, you know, or heard about how people didn't have power for, you know, a month after, 3 months, 6 months, a year after. Apparently there's still some people on the island that still don't have power.
David Keelings, a geographer at the University of Alabama. With a cost to America of $90 billion, Hurricane Maria was the third most financially destructive in US history. But just how unusual was its intensity? Keelings set out to compare Maria to all the other storms that have hit Puerto Rico since records began in 1956.
Maria is more intense than any one of those other 128 storms that we have in the record. It's dropped more rainfall than any one of those other storms, and to a significant amount, about 30 to 60% more rainfall than any other storm in history in Puerto Rico.
So the question is, could climate change have played a role in this devastating record rainfall? While it's not possible to say a single storm is caused by climate change, it is possible to investigate whether climate change made a storm more likely. And this is exactly what Keelings investigated. He calculated how likely Maria was to take place in today's climate and in a world where we hadn't altered the global climate as much.
So we dial back global temperatures to the 50s, we dial back CO2 to the 50s, we dial back cloud cover to the 1950s, and then we calculate the probability of Maria again, and then we compare those two probability estimates. And when we do that, we find that Maria and Maria's precipitation in particular is about five times more likely now in the climate of today versus the climate of the 1950s. And that five times increase in likelihood is directly attributable to long-term climate change.
More and more research is finding links between extreme weather events and climate change, demonstrating that we're already feeling the impacts of global warming today. But Keelings points out that we shouldn't be surprised to find climate change's fingerprints on storms like Maria. After all, for decades, researchers have predicted that by changing the climate, we would make hurricanes more intense.
This is something that we've known for a long time, but to now be actually able to say through these attribution type studies that, hey, this is what we expect theoretically, and guess what? This is what the observations are showing us. That's, I think, something that's really powerful.
Thanks for listening. For Scientific American's 60 Second Science, I'm Adam Levy.
This is the end of task 2. Now turn to task 3. Task 3. You are going to hear an interview with Jamila Jamil, a famous actress, model, and TV presenter, about a campaign she launched in social networks. Answer the following questions with short answers, 8 words maximum. Question 0 has been given as an example. Write your answers in the answer sheet provided. Now you have 1 minute to read the questions.
The campaign that you've got going at the moment is Ai Wei on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Ai Weiwei.
No. No, it's the bane of my existence.
So what is it?
So Ai Wei is a campaign that I started sort of by accident. It was very natural. In order to change the way in which we value women, to change the conversation around how we define our worth, women's worth. Not just women, it's for men as well, but let's be honest, women are way more under attack than men, especially when it comes to our aesthetic. That is how we are valued so much more so than men are. You can turn on any TV or open any magazine in order to see that. It started because I saw an Instagram post that had all these numbers written across the bodies of a group shot of the Kardashians. And I looked at it at a glance and I thought, oh, God, but that's how much they're worth. But that's their net worth. That's how much money they're worth. And I clicked on it and it was their weight. And whatever you might think, whatever I might think about the Kardashians, these are six women who've built an empire and they are businesswomen alongside everything else that they are. It is so insane that in 2018, we are still writing down their weight on across every single woman's body. And then the comment underneath this post, which is followed by 500,000 people at least, all of whom are young girls, was, this is how much they weigh. Who do you think looks like they weigh the least? What do you weigh? And there were thousands of comments from young girls being like, oh no, I'm the same height as them, but I weigh this much. Oh no, I'm too fat. I'm awful. All this, that, these comments of constant self-hatred. And then because of the algorithms of Instagram, the more once I'd clicked on that, more of those sort of posts started to come up on my feed constantly. And then weight loss posts, and then more and more things that were just clearly describing a woman's entire worth centered around her weight. So I decided to write what I weigh on Instagram, which is the fact that I am financially independent, my wonderful relationship, my incredible friends, the job that I have, the fact that I get to laugh every day, and alongside a lot of the things that aren't perfect about my life. All these things make up who I am. That is how we define men. That has now got to be how we define women.
And people joined in.
So, I mean,
did
it was
the same thing.
I didn't ask anyone to, but people volunteered thousands of posts, so many that I had to start an Instagram account in order to make sure that they didn't just come and go, that they would have somewhere. We almost kind of turned it into a museum of self-love. And it has now grown and grown and grown, and we have over 100,000 followers. And this has been in just a couple of months without any real like celebrity endorsement or anything. It's just organically grown out of women's desire, women and some men's desire, to finally be recognized for who they are rather than just what they look like and whether or not they fit into society's like extremely narrative constructs as to what is definitively acceptable.
Given the tidal wave of everything in opposition to that on Instagram, what do you think you can achieve?
I think just shaking people and waking them up for a minute and being the voice that spoke out against it was a start, because I think a lot of people are now, what I've been seeing in messages is a lot of people have sort of, it's been almost like a glass of cold water in the face of constant, like this, it feels like women are being bombarded with hatred, with self-hatred, and we are encouraged to hate ourselves and hate the way that we look and criticize ourselves and think about our aesthetic all day long. And I think that it took someone in this position, I'm kind of like a Trojan horse. It took someone who's in this position, right in the middle of it, just to say, what are we doing? And just to be thought-provoking about it and be like, think about how often, how many times a day do you think about the things that are wrong with the way that you look? How much of that time? It would be amazing if we had an app. I will say this, they have these apps now that monitor how long you spend on social media. An app on your phone that tells you how much time of your day you spend using social media. Wouldn't it be amazing to have an app that monitored how much of your time you spend thinking about your looks? And what would happen in the world if we would apply that time to thinking about the growth of our family or our career or our happiness and well-being and mental health?
Do you think 'twas ever thus, or has it got worse? And if it's got worse, how? I mean,
I think it's definitely gotten worse. You know, I grew up in the 90s, which was a really toxic time to be a young girl, because hip bones were seen as a badge of honor and heroin chic was used non-ironically by the highest of publications, it was bandied around everywhere. You had Kate Moss and Jodie Kidd and all these like supermodels being glorified for their emaciated figures. And we were conditioned to think that that was the only way that we could be deemed attractive, if we had no fat anywhere on our bodies. You know, there was a girl I went to school with who used to eat on a weighing scale that she would bring in with her to school to make sure that she would watch the scale. And if it went up, she would know to stop eating. You know, you had magazines of famous actresses saying in formal interviews that they were eating naked in order to stop themselves from overindulging. This was the conditioning. But at least back then, we had to seek out the toxicity. You had to go and buy the magazine, the expensive magazine, and you had to go on the internet and search through pages and pages and pages to find Thinspiration accounts or some sort of pro-anorexia websites. Nowadays, you don't even have to be looking for it. You open your phone, it's in your hand, you're alone in the safety of your own bed, and this toxicity pours in via adverts, via other people's feeds. It's It's just advertising that is finding us whether we're looking for it or not. It's everywhere. And younger people have mobile phones now. I'm seeing two-year-olds when I'm on the underground here using the perfect, like the two-finger swipe to be able to zoom in on something. Children are too exposed to all of this.
And parents are momentarily really proud when their baby knows how to swipe.
I know.
They go, oh, it's just instinctive. Yeah. And then you realize it's actually horrific. Yeah.
It's everywhere now. It comes up on all of your social media. It's really like, it's the most vanity I've ever witnessed in the UK.
Listen again.
The campaign that you've got going at the moment is Ai Wei on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Ai Weiwei.
No. No, it's the bane of my existence.
So what is it?
So Ai Wei is a campaign that I started sort of by accident. It was very natural. In order to change the way in which we value women, to change the conversation around how we define our worth, women's worth. Not just women, it's for men as well, but let's be honest, women are way more under attack than men, especially when it comes to our aesthetic. That is how we are valued so much more so than men are. You can turn on any TV or open any magazine in order to see that. It started because I saw an Instagram post that had all these numbers written across the bodies of a group shot of the Kardashians. And I looked at it at a glance and I thought, oh God, but that's how much they're worth. But that's their net worth. That's how much money they're worth. And I clicked on it and it was their weight. And whatever you might think, whatever I might think about the Kardashians, these are six women who've built an empire and they are businesswomen alongside everything else that they are. It is so insane that in 2018, we are still writing down their weight on across every single woman's body. And then the comment underneath this post, which is followed by 500,000 people at least, all of whom are young girls, was, this is how much they weigh. Who do you think looks like they weigh the least? What do you weigh? And there were thousands of comments from young girls being like, oh no, I'm the same height as them, but I weigh this much. Oh no, I'm too fat. I'm awful. All this, that, these comments of constant self-hatred. And then because of the algorithms of Instagram, the more once I'd clicked on that, more of those sort of posts started to come up on my feed constantly. And then weight loss posts, and then more and more things that were just clearly describing a woman's entire worth centered around her weight. So I decided to write what I weigh on Instagram, which is the fact that I am financially independent, my wonderful relationship, my incredible friends, the job that I have, the fact that I get to laugh every day, and alongside a lot of the things that aren't perfect about my life. All these things make up who I am. That is how we define men. That has now got to be how we define women.
And people joined in.
So, I mean, it was
the same thing.
I didn't ask anyone to, but people volunteered thousands of posts, so many that I had to start an Instagram account in order to make sure that they didn't just come and go, that they would have somewhere. We almost kind of turned it into a museum of self-love. And it has now grown and grown and grown, and we have over 100,000 followers, and this has been in just a couple of months without any real like celebrity endorsement or anything. It's just organically grown out of women's desire, women and some men's desire, to finally be recognized for who they are rather than just what they look like and whether or not they fit into society's like extremely narrative constructs as to what is definitively acceptable.
Given the tidal wave of everything in opposition to that on Instagram, what do you think you can achieve?
I think just shaking people and waking them up for a minute and being the voice that spoke out against it was a start, because I think a lot of people are now, what I've been seeing in messages is a lot of people have sort of, it's been almost like a glass of cold water in the face of constant, like this, it feels like women are being bombarded with hatred, with self-hatred, and we are encouraged to hate ourselves and hate the way that we look and criticize ourselves and think about our aesthetic all day long. And I think that it took someone in this position, I'm kind of like a Trojan horse. It took someone who's in this position, right in the middle of it, just to say, what are we doing? And just to be thought-provoking about it and be like, think about how many times a day do you think about the things that are wrong with the way that you look? How much of that time? It would be amazing if we had an app I will say this, they have these apps now that monitor how long you spend on social media. An app on your phone that tells you how much time of your day you spend using social media. Wouldn't it be amazing to have an app that monitored how much of your time you spend thinking about your looks? And what would happen in the world if we would apply that time to thinking about the growth of our family or our career or our happiness and well-being and mental health?
Do you think 'twas ever thus, or has it got worse? And if it's got worse, how? I mean,
I think it's definitely gotten worse. You know, I grew up in the 90s, which was a really toxic time to be a young girl because hip bones were seen as a badge of honor and heroin chic was used non-ironically by the highest of publications. It was bandied around everywhere. You had Kate Moss and Jodie Kidd and all these like supermodels being glorified for their emaciated figures. And we were conditioned to think that that was the only way that we could be deemed attractive, if we had no fat anywhere on our bodies. You know, there was a girl I went to school with who used to eat on a weighing scale that she would bring in with her to school to make sure that she would watch the scale. And if it went up, she would know to stop eating. You know, you had magazines of famous actresses saying in formal interviews that they were eating naked in order to stop themselves from overindulging. This was the conditioning. But at least back then, we had to seek out the toxicity. You had to go and buy the magazine, the expensive magazine, and you had to go on the internet and search through pages and pages and pages to find Thinspiration accounts or some sort of pro-anorexia websites. Nowadays, you don't even have to be looking for it. You open your phone, it's in your hand, you're alone in the safety of your own bed, and this toxicity pours in via adverts, via other people's feeds. It's just advertising that is finding us whether we're looking for it or not. It's everywhere. And younger people have mobile phones now. I'm seeing two-year-olds when I'm on the underground here using the perfect, like the two-finger swipe to be able to zoom in on something. Children are too exposed to all of this.
And parents are momentarily really proud when their baby knows how to swipe.
I know.
They go, oh, it's just instinctive. Yeah. And then you realize it's actually horrific. Yeah.
It's everywhere now. It comes up on all of your social media. It's really like, it's the most vanity I've ever witnessed in the UK.
This is the end of task 3. Now you have 3 minutes to write your answers in the answer sheet. This is the end of the listening test.